Prairie Hills. They're looking to locate to the former the building that used to house Natural Shrimp most recently.
And also at one time hosted Kenco Warehouse.
Kenco
which
Warehouse.
Which we had at one time for Electrolux.
Yes.
A company that went through many, many changes. And of course, sadly, it closed its doors back in 2011. But that is some big news for what to do with that building there, John.
Yeah, I think we're excited about the potential of having that company locate there. Certainly, the level of investment is high. I think between $50 and $75 million for the sort of the first iteration. They are going to be, or they propose to be, should we successfully have them come here, doing some manufacturing of what I call them health drinks, but they're in these things called Tetra Paks. Cardboard boxes, they got a little white tab on them, and they would be a health drink that you could find in retailers like Target or Walmart or things like that. So I believe that the current owners, which are still associated with Natural Shrimp, have some relationship with this company and saw an opportunity to potentially bring this here. But up to 40 jobs for the first two lines. If it is a full build-out, there'll be four lines in the facility. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity for redevelopment.
But now the decision is to be made on April 17th, John, by the Iowa Economic Development Authority. So I believe they have the final say on this, don't they?
Yeah, so the company requested two tranches of investment. One, about $2.5 million from the state's program. The IEDA will consider that on April 17th. In advance of that, the company asked for our resolution of support for that application, as well as an indication of our willingness to provide tax increment financing in the amount of $6.5 million over 15 years, which represents approximately 75% of the increment that they estimate they'll be creating. So
we'll get the official message on April 17th about if this new company is coming to Webster City. That, again, is going to be the, if I can find it right here there, John, about the Edible Gardens facility.
Edible Gardens, yeah.
Mm-hmm. New additions. Well, that's big news for Webster City. Also last night, John, there was a discussion about the daycare center situation, Riverview, as well as Webster City Daycare Center. There's been a lot of money going in, a lot of discussion, too, for this. Have all the funds been raised for this program? Or
I believe that the Riverview Daycare has secured enough funds to proceed with the renovation of that building on Beach Street through their efforts over the last couple years. As part of that transaction, so Riverview is buying the building at Beach Street that was previously owned by Webster City Daycare. The Webster City Daycare still had an outstanding loan of about $140,000 with the city of Webster City. In lieu of gifting Riverview a portion of the property at Hospital Hill that they had been considering for their new facility, they asked the council to consider forgiving that grant or that loan. So Riverview assumed the loan, and then we entered into a loan forgiveness agreement over the next 10 years with Riverview, but it did come with some conditions that they need to meet. Because now, with that being the only publicly available daycare in the community, we want to make sure that that's successful moving forward.
Mm-hmm. And the Vandy's Medical Center, well, not Vandy's Medical Center, but I keep on saying that, the old Hamilton Hospital building will become the new home of Riverview, right? Down the road?
No, they're going to the Beach Street facility, the old Hy-Vee building.
Okay.
Yeah, so they've acquired that site, and that was where the old Webster City Daycare was.
Okay. Very good. Also, there was a discussion, too, last night. There was a public hearing on Webster City's property tax levy.
Yeah.
That's kind of good news in a way, I believe.
Yeah, no, we're excited to be able to deliver that. I think it was a 1% decrease, held the tax levy at right around $4.7 million. We were able to offer that by and large because the city, compared to 2 years ago, is operating with about 12 less full-time equivalents with our merger with the dispatch and some positions that we have reconfigured. And some in case we don't have it. So, for instance, we don't have a mechanic now. We're outsourcing all of that work to the local shops, which we believe is good economic development work as well. In addition, we've had steady growth in the tax base, but with the legislative caps, we're capped at about 2%. We also know that Webster City has about $1.50, I think, above our average comparison cities in property tax collection. So we're taking 60%, 60 cents of that off. So now we're down to around, you know, a little 60 or 90 cents more than our comparables, and we'll continue to chip away with that in the future during a budget session. So I would look for the levy to continue to maintain or decrease, with the exception of any capital projects that might be approved by the council or voted on by the public.
Again, we're talking with John Heron, senior city manager on KQWC, another big city council meeting last night. And coming up on April 20th, the next city council meeting, we're still talking about money. And this has to do with the Webster City budget for 2026-27. And I know that you worked with Mayor John Hawkins and the yes. other council members. Of course, we have one or two new council yeah. members now working on that. So that's scheduled for April 20th. Any preview about that?
Yeah, I think I would call this budget Steady Eddie. We talked about the 1% budget or property tax decrease. Water and sewer rates will remain as they are. There's no increase proposed there. Of course, we do have the increase in the electric rates based on the increased cost of power. We do have a road project with the T&K. They've already started over by the old Sahai Clinic up by the youth soccer fields, and that work will continue this summer. And then we've got two larger items in the general fund. One is replacement of the brush fire truck for the fire department, and then the other is completion of the shelter that the council approved earlier in at East Twin Park. But back to the 1% decrease in the property tax levy, I think both the city and the hospital, I think, when they considered their levy this year, as well as the school district, is really trying to pave the way for a smooth approval of that new high school as they begin talking about that, or the remodeled high school, I believe, is what's in the works right now. But I think all of our efforts as taxing entities are aimed at moving the strategic needle in our county, whether it's daycare, whether it's the high school, whether it's the wastewater plant, or work on our downtown area.
No, very good. So that'll be coming up April 20th, and we'll get a better perspective on what it's going to be money-wise for that at that meeting.
Yeah, you bet.
Mm-hmm. So that's very good. April 20th, 6:05 p.m. Now, you mentioned about electric rates we have. That's all final now.
Yep.
Because that took effect last week on April 1st. And I know that John Marvel, city council member, made a comment that he didn't like it, but
right.
what else can you do?
Yeah, so the city purchases its power from NYMECA, which is actually a consortium of municipal electric co-ops and power.
North Iowa Municipal Electric yep. Co-op.
They purchase that power for us through Corn Belt. Corn Belt purchases it through Basin Energy up in North Dakota. It's relayed to us because of the system build-outs, increasing costs of transmission build-outs, and other factors associated with just generation and providing that power. They implemented a 18% increase to Corn Belt. Corn Belt passed on along around 10.5 to us, and we're at about 5 now, 4 later, and then 2 down the road. So, yeah, tough news for the ratepayers, but we're going to be taking a hard look at the electric budget this year. In terms of our comparisons, I spoke about the property tax comparison earlier. We'll do something similar to that this year with the electric utility and determine what steps we need to make to remain competitive, which I believe we still are. I think we're probably average or maybe slightly above average, but we're in the ballpark of our other neighboring providers.
Now we're in the 7th day of April, and already you haven't heard anything concerning about this from Webster City residents or businesses about this?
Well, I don't think anybody's excited about it. I personally have not heard much from folks, but the council has relayed to me that they've heard an awful lot about it. And so the one thing I mentioned, I think, last time I was here, when Dodie and I sit down to do the budget, we are mindful that households and businesses in the community are facing pressures in terms of rising costs. That's why we're happy to deliver the property tax rate decrease and the flat water and sewer rates. With the electric rate increase, because it was for the cost of the power we're buying, we didn't have many opportunities to trim there. It was just sort of a fixed cost that we needed to fund.
One of the interesting things last night there, John, was this resolution for the 2026 version of the Iowa Statewide Urban Design Standard. The specification for public improvement manuals. What's this all about?
So that's typically referred to as SUDAS. Those are sort of the state standards that cities adopt. And then Brandon Barnifus and Zach Williams down at the street department amend that from time to time to meet local requirements. So, for instance, they use two types of manhole covers, so they add that into the requirement. They require that new lots have the T-posts that identify the water and sewer hookups. So that was a general update because the state had updated those standards. We followed suit, plus our local, what I call uniqueness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that's what happened out of that. Now, there were a number of resolutions last night for some projects in Webster City with the asphalt and the concrete and so on and so forth, Fort Dodge asphalt and more, about three resolutions in all last night.
Yeah, a few things with the streets. The street department did bring forth their crack sealing contract, so residents will see some crack sealing happening this year. I think that was about $45,000 or $50,000. We have some patching that's going to go on. Panel replacement on Superior Street. Anybody that's driven those know that a couple of those panels have heaved or cracked, and we want to make sure that remains a smooth riding surface. I think the biggest issue that Brandon brought forward that would typically affect the homeowners is the following. If you have to replace a water or sewer line and your contractor digs out the street, if you're on an asphalt road, you have to replace it with asphalt. If you're on a concrete road, you now have to replace it with concrete. What Brandon proactively did in this process is we had some complaints about the costs of the asphalt replacement, that it was upwards of $5,000. He's now brokered a contract with Fort Dodge Asphalt, where they will come in once a month to lay asphalt in these areas that have been repaired. And that would be only $2,200, which is very similar to the price of the concrete that would be for the similar size patch. So it was real benefit. Want to praise that department for being proactive and delivering real cost savings to residents. But yeah, that'll be a good step forward for us.
Absolutely. John, also we have the dates now set for the cleanup drop-off event. I know that the city council members and some other volunteers are needed for this, but that's coming up in another 2 months or so.
June 12th and 11th, 12th and 13th.
June 12th and 13th.
Yeah. That's the big item drop-off or just junk cleanup drop-off that's held at the junior high. Been very popular with both the council and residents. Great opportunity ahead of the summer season, ahead of the nuisance abatements and the letters on, you know, lawn cleanliness and mowing, to get out and get your belongings cleaned up if you're looking to get rid of them. Also, it's just a great way to help trying to keep the town clean.
That's very important.
Yes, very important. And we're working diligently on
Webster City all cleaned up. So again, the dates will be June 12th and 13th. I know it's a little bit early for this, John, but I'm sure this will be advertised in the days leading up right after Memorial Day in Webster City.
Well, we appreciate your help with that, too.
Absolutely, on the 12th and 13th of June. Yeah. Now we have a new member of the Webster City Police Force. We're now up to speed, I guess, from what I heard from Steve Hansen last night.
The city welcomed Officer Beckman to our department, and Chief Hansen, knock on wood, said he's now back up to full staffing, which he's very happy about. Officer Beckman joins us from Colorado, we're happy to have him and look forward to seeing the positive contributions he can make.
And he, along with his wife and daughter, they were at the ceremony last night. He got his pin from Steve Hansen, but he lives down in Dayton, I believe.
That's correct.
He's originally from Maryland, from what he said.
World traveler, or at least national traveler.
Baltimore?
Is that right?
I don't know. I didn't know. He said he was from Maryland, so.
Well, you'd see all type of things in Baltimore, I suspect.
Yep. So again, welcome to Matthew Beckman, new member of the Webster City Police Force. I think we got everything covered right here, but anything else coming up down the road there, John?
That was a pretty busy agenda.
Yes, it was.
But it's good to see us cranking up as we go into the summer season. Talked about the road work that's happening. And, you know, Pat, let's just hope we go another month without a pipe bomb in town.
Yeah, for sure. Also, I know that Audie Maxey was at the city council meeting last night. He's with the Ames Regional Economic Alliance. He, too, played a role with this project there on Des Moines Street with this agri facility coming up to Webster City.
Got to really tip my hat to Adi Maxey and the Hamilton County Growth Alliance.
Yes.
They work with attracting edible gardens. I think sometimes understated is, and I'll say it as John Hawkins says it, business has never been better served with the creation of Hamilton County Growth Partnership. And Adi was at the front lines recruiting this edible gardens to our community. And did a fabulous job coordinating between the city and the company and the state and making sure that we put a competitive proposal together. So that's exciting. And I just want to mention that follows, right? Ace Hardware is going to open up on
yes.
the 18th. Brew Oil's working on the old Doolittle Dock Stop site. And now we have the potential for edible gardens. We're hopeful that Cading's going to start this fall. So for Webster City, there is a lot of positive proactive business development, and I suspect that in the next few weeks you'll see some recommendations for some movement in the downtown area. So we're coming into a real strong 2026, and we're going to move the needle here.
I noticed last night that Bettis,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she was there.
Cindy
Bettis spoke before the council thanking them, but she would like to see more, I believe, and
I think that's what the thrust of her comments were.
Mm-hmm.
Just more proactivity down there. And I believe that, between John, Mayor Hawkins and Lyft and Mr. Marvel and his group, and then the Hamilton County Growth Alliance or partnership, we should be able to move the needle there. You know, I think we forgot to mention that, the Elks building received that
yes.
CAT grant.
Yes.
And so that's sort of the final tranche of money that they're going to need to, get that project over the hump. So we're excited to see that. There's just a lot of positive things going on.
Have we heard any dates yet there, John, about when this is going to be finally open to the public for the Elks? Anything?
Well,
new?
I thought it was my understanding that Wildcat, at least, was maybe going to locate there and open
right.
up in April. Is that right?
I believe so, and it is the 7th of April. April's
is it open yet, Pat?
I couldn't say.
I don't know. That's right. But I thought that at some point in time was the benchmark of what was going to happen. But you're right. I haven't heard an opening date there.
Yeah. We'll find out. This is going to be a wonderful attraction to downtown Webster City. The
yeah,
Elks
will
building
be.
From
yeah.
what
yeah.
oh we had Darcy Swan working on.
Yes.
And
absolutely.
I think people can still make contributions to this or if they like.
Oh, certainly. I'm sure that the they can go to Enhance and direct their giving to Enhance Hamilton County
yeah,
as the foundation,
fun.
And they could mm-hmm. Direct it to Lyft. I'd also recommend, given our discussion of daycare earlier, if you're a business or an individual that is particularly interested in supporting childcare, you can always give to the Wage Enhancement Fund. That is also can be found at Enhance Hamilton County through the Hamilton County Child Care Coalition, and
right.
they can always use the support.
Very good. Anything else for the good of the cause there?
It's always a pleasure seeing you.
Same here.
Yeah,
same
thanks
here.
For having me on.
Absolutely.
You bet.
John Herrenstein, city manager, will do this again in 2 weeks on April the 21st right here at KQWC. Time now is 8:49, currently 32 degrees here at Radio Hill.